There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Well, good afternoon, and this is not Sean Sullivan. All right, I know everybody's saying, well, where is he? Okay, I don't even know. He's just having a good time somewhere, and he asked me to fill in, and so who am I? I'm Dr. Lou Campagnosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign here in Mobile and Baldwin Counties. I'm also an adjunct professor at Spring Hill College, teach in the political science department. There are all sorts of good courses, war on terror, American foreign policy, Vietnam, you name it, I'll do it. I also have my own radio show, and I will do a shameless advertisement for it right now. I'm on Monday morning, 10:05 to 10:30, and it's on WABF 1480, on your AM dial. So tune into that, get another dose of old Dr. Lou. So here's the thing. I really do appreciate the fact that that the beloved Sean asked me to do this, and I'm really excited about doing it. I think we're going to have a good show for you today. We're going to start off talking about the tolls, which I think is critical given where we are with this and the fact that everyone, we now have 50,000 people on Jim Ziegler's Facebook. That says that this issue is not going away, and we want to talk a little bit more about it. I'm also going to have the esteemed Jim Ziegler on with us after a little while. I have Kevin Spriggs with me in the studio, and Kevin's been on with Sean several different times, and he and I have been working closely on this particular issue, and I think that what Kevin brings to the table is a wealth of experience and knowledge, and as a businessman who has the background in trying to figure out the ins and outs of what's going on with this project, I think it's important that we hear from Kevin. After we do that, I'm going to bring in Jackie Ziegler, Jim Ziegler's wife, who happens to be on the State Board of Education. And this whole question about what's going on with the attempt to get a constitutional amendment passed that would make this board an appointed board. We are totally opposed to that, and I'm glad that Jackie is going to be with us this afternoon to talk about that, and we'll get into some of the things that we're doing to fight what's going on in terms of this attempt to just centralize power away from the people, and we just think it's an outrage, and we are going to defeat it. There's no question about it. The next thing I want to talk about is Common Core, and I'm going to bring Quinn Hillier, who is with Sean every Tuesday morning and other times when he's been on the show. Quinn's going to come in to talk about Common Core. Look, we have been fighting Common Core for the last 8 years or more, and the fact of the matter is that on the one hand, we have not had any real success getting the legislature or the Board of Education to get rid of Common Core. But guess what? Del Marsh, who has been, you know, the bodyguard of Common Core for the last 8 years, suddenly came out and recognized that, yes, there is an educational crisis in Alabama, and he sort of blamed it on Common Core. Well, no kidding. If he had just been listening to us for the last 8 years, we could have been done with it. But nevertheless, I want you to hear what Quinn Hillier has to say about it, and he'll have a take on exactly where we're going with this. And I think it's important that you hear these kinds of things because, you know, Common Core and the State Board of Education, these aren't the sexy things. I understand that, and I know that to a certain degree, everything else kind of overwhelms it, particularly this whole business with the tolls and then what's going on in the federal side of things with the national election and Trump's a racist and everything else like that. I know the news bubble is bad. So we need to be able to step back and just take a look at what is going on with this, because this question about Common Core isn't just about the standards. It has to do with making our children little AOCs, okay? If you like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, then, you know, this is what you're going to get with kids who see nothing more than socialism as the wave of the future. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't there, and we're not going to give into it, and we're going to fight everything we can with it. And the last part of the show this afternoon will be with the chair of the political science department. Now, I know that this is shameless for me to bring my boss on here, but nevertheless, I'm going to do it because we want to talk a little bit about what's going on at college in the college world and the degree to which those various issues like social justice has an impact on what we're doing in the classroom. We want to talk about that. So that's basically what the outline of the show is going to be this afternoon, okay? Without any further ado, let's just talk quickly about a little bit of background about this bridge project, and then I'll get in with Kevin. We'll talk a little bit more about what we're doing with it. You know, my understanding of what's going on with this bridge is that there's nothing new about it. We've known for a long time that there is a problem. Translation, there is a need for something to be done. Is that something a new Taj Mahal bridge? Well, we have a question about that. It doesn't have to be a super duper bridge that costs $1.2 billion, I think, billion. And then when you add another billion in for the Bayway, then you're talking about a $2.3 billion project. Way out of sight, okay? That never was intended. The last time we really talked about it was about 2 years ago. You're looking at $850 million in reach. And we're also looking at the fact that the feds were going to kick in at about an 80-20 ratio. Well, if federal money was going to put in 80%, the state still had to come up with 20%, which was not going to be easy. That was going to be a problem, okay? We knew that, okay? Now, the next thing we're looking at is the federal side of it went from 80% to where, you know, take your pick on this, we're looking at 6% with $125 million infogram that they just received from the feds. Well, and you know, Senator Jones is jumping for joy. Okay, fine. That means that it's 6% of this of the project. That's nowhere near where we need to be, I would argue. But if there's a, you know, that much from the feds, well, how are we going to make up the rest of it? And this is where this idea of a P3 comes in. And I'm sure you've heard this term before, but essentially it's a private-public partnership that allows concessions to be made to the private entities that are going to be joining in the project. Now, the translation here is concessions are tolls. That's how they're going to make their money back. That's how they're going to, you know, why would they want to do something for 50-something years if they're not going to make money? Now, we've basically run the numbers on this, and if the tolling is what what ALDOT wants it to be, then you're looking at close to $10 billion over the 55-year life of the project for these concessions to be given to the people who are going to be running it. And we have a lot of trouble with that. We've been putting ads in Lanyap talking about that. In fact, I'm looking at one of them that basically says, who's going to benefit from all this? You know, and I think that that is a legitimate question. Who will profit from the Mobile River Bridge? And we say the numbers don't add up, you know? So here again, we get into this question about the P3 process itself, which has its issues. And what we're arguing is that there are state funding options that have not been considered. And I think that we need to spend some time discussing those things, particularly in light of what Jim Ziegler has to say about funding and what Senator Greg Allbritton has said about it. And of course, Greg is he's the chair of the state. Okay, I'm a rookie, it's okay. I mean, you know, it's good. Sorry,
that was on me, Dr. Lou. You can keep going.
Okay, all right,
yes,
good.
Sir.
Thanks,
Dalton. That's on me. That was not
all
on
right,
Dr. Lou.
Okay, all right. So you have Senator Allbritton, who is the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, who has said, and he's optimistic about this. In fact, I tried to get him to come today so we could talk about this, but he's got meetings, which means to me that he's up there in Montgomery, you know, rolling up his sleeves, trying to find the funding that he says he's got. Well, guess what, guys? If that's the case, why are we fooling around with a $6, you know, one way, $12 round trip toll when there are alternatives. Now, we're going to get into some of that down the road here. But my point here is to try to lay this out for you so that you can see that the pickle we're in is necessarily related to money, but the solution is completely out of bounds in terms of what ALDOT seems to be convinced that the only way to do this is to have tolls. And, you know, frankly, as long as they're fixed on that, then this becomes a political issue, okay? And that's where we are, trying to work with the Al Brittons, the Zieglers, the Senator Chris...
Elliott.
Thank you. I'm just getting old. That's all it is. So I mean, there are people, and even Bradley Byrne, all of these people we have quoted in our last, you know, Lagniappe thing. All of these people have said that this is unacceptable. Okay? It's just not 50,000 people on Facebook. It's not just people like me and Ziegler and others and Spriggs. No. It's your elected officials saying the same thing. It's unacceptable. And that's why we believe that we will prevail in this. So when we come back from this short break, that I'm watching Dalton say, yeah, we're going to have a break here, and I'm going to pick up on this one. I'm not going to blow it. The fact of the matter is that we need to have public understanding of what's going on and a public buy-in to start calling Governor Ivey and making the heat even hotter so that they start getting the message, these people down here in Mobile are not going to accept this. And guess what? We're taking that message to North Alabama. And that's what we're going to talk about in a little bit, too, when Jim Ziegler comes on. So, you know, stay with us, and we'll see exactly what's going on with this. And I think that we're going to have an interesting discussion. We welcome your calls. We've got time for all of that, too. So, now you see, I'm kind of running out of words to say here because I think
We'll take it to the break.
We'll take it to the break.
Good. 343-0106. That's the phone line.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Okay, welcome back. This is Dr. Lou Campagnosi sitting in for Sean Sullivan. So we're talking about the evolution of this bridge project, okay? And the last thing I want to say in terms of the project is, when did the opposition to it really begin? And I would argue that it began on the 9th of May when we went to the Spanish Fort ALDOT meeting and were told that the toll scheme was $3 to $6 one way. Well, I mean, you know, Kevin Spriggs and I have been looking at various tolling places and studies that have shown what's gone on. And the one thing that we came away from, you know, in our studies was press relations matter, okay? And so ALDOT throws a $3 to $6 toll out there without having any idea. I would argue there was no business model associated with $3 to $6, but they just threw it out there. Well, guess what? There was a firestorm of opposition, and one of those leading members of the opposition is Kevin Spriggs. Kevin, welcome today. Really appreciate you being here. Let's get your take on this whole question of the opposition and what's happening with it.
Well, yes, we started to hear, as you said, about that there would be a toll, and then when the announcement came about the Spanish Fort meeting, I made a point to attend that meeting, and that's where they did announce, you know, that there would be a toll of $3 to $6, just as you said. Mm-hmm. And of course, most of the people at that meeting were taken by surprise and spoke out against it as a part of the public record. And one of the issues that got me, you know, really involved in this was I've been following the AL.com stories about the I-59 I-20 bridge, which was an $800 million project in Birmingham. And, you know, it looked like a great project, was probably much needed. But then all of a sudden, we have a similar type of project that needs, you know, the same type of attention. But, hey, you guys have to pay a toll. And, you know, Birmingham gets theirs, you know, for maybe not for free, but with paid for with tax dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And I think mm-hmm. that's another one of the things that we have emphasized in our ads, whether they're radio ads or Lagniappe, where we're talking about how unfair it is. Now, the argument about unfairness is answered by ALDOT along the lines of, well, Birmingham, there was too many leakages that they couldn't toll it because there were too many problems with that. Plus, they argue that the traffic was just many more numbers there than they have down here. I mean, what's your sense of that answer? I just find it incredible.
Yes, well, you have to look at the importance of the I-59, I-20 connector, mm-hmm. and certainly to the economy in Birmingham. This is a very key cross-connecting piece of infrastructure, as well as connecting, Tennessee and Georgia to Louisiana and South Alabama. And so when I look at the I-10 corridor, this is also a highly important piece of economic structure.
It's critical.
Yes, because you have, East-West Coast Highway. And, for me, the issue was, since when are we going to start, putting tolls on our key pieces of infrastructure? I mean, it's one thing to have a toll on a private road to some real estate development, mm-hmm. or some local group wants to create a shortcut that's maybe not in the purview of the state funding, but to take key pieces of infrastructure and to start tolling them, then to me, you're going to see a loss of freedom and a loss of the ability for it's going to be an impediment to interstate commerce development if you put this toll bridge structure in.
Yeah, I think the other aspect of that, too, in terms of business, the negative impact on businesses who are running back and forth across every day. We've heard that from all sorts of people. I mean, what's your take on that as a businessman? You've already said some things about
this.
Yes,
absolutely. I mean, about two-thirds of my workforce is Mobile County people that cross the bridge or the causeway on a daily basis. And you're putting in a toll that is a very regressive tax, and it would be it would cause us to have to look in a different direction as far as our labor sources are, mm-hmm. concerned. It definitely will have an effect. And so there are a lot of service businesses that Baldwin County still depends on out of Mobile, and that's opportunity for Mobile businesses to expand their territory and to be able to service a wider area and perhaps have more opportunities as well. So the economies of the two sides of the bay have developed over the last 50 years with this interconnecting structures, and now all of a sudden you say, well, okay, we're going to come along and we're going to put a huge tax on that. I mean, that's what it amounts to.
When you started to see how this was developing, then your basic instinct then was that there's something wrong with this. Not necessarily no to all tolls, but at least from a $3 to $6 standpoint, at least from May. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, ALDOT was down here basically saying, "Okay, we've come up with the toll." Now, listen, folks, try to understand something. When they did this in Virginia at the Elizabeth River Tunnel Project, and there's a study on this, okay? And this is where we got a lot of our information. The biggest thing that they had a problem with was that the people in Portsmouth, where the tunnel was going to be, they went crazy when they saw how high the toll was going to be. Suddenly, it became a political problem. And the governor at the time, McDonald, finally said, okay, we can't do it this way. We're going to throw in $400 million, I think, was a state buy-in. Okay, so the question that we immediately had down here is, why is ALDOT just falling into the same PR trap that Virginia did by coming out with an outrageously high toll that everyone knew would create a problem, right?
Oh, absolutely. And interesting enough, the Elizabeth River Tunnels toll for 2019, you could check this on the internet if you're a frequent user, which would mean that you would have the radio tag, is only $2.19 or $2.29 during the peak period. Yeah. And so, we just really don't understand where ALDOT's getting its business model or where it's getting its numbers for this project.
Well, one of the things that we have said, and again, we have to thank Congressman Byrne for this, because here again, you ask, where are they getting their numbers from? It seems pretty clear that ALDOT's director, Cooper, has been wedded to tolling, and that's it. And as long as he is wedded to a tolling, you know, approach, then it seems to me that you're going to have a difficult time convincing him that just because he has a PR problem that he's going to back away from this.
This is definitely a top-down direction from all the local officials that we talked to and the local elected officials. This is definitely coming straight out of Montgomery at us.
Yeah, and that's that being the case, there's another political component to this, and that is what's going on with what's called the toll authority. And we'll get into that when we come back. But the fact of the matter is, as long as Governor Ivey has control over the votes in the tolling authority committee, then we have got to do our job to try to make sure that that tolling authority sees things the way we do. And that's what we are doing, for sure.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Okay, Lou Campanosi back on for Sean. We've got some calls here that we want to go ahead and take. First one up is Linda King. Linda, how are you doing?
Hey, fine, thanks.
All right, listen, I have to have Lou. Can I just say this? This is truth in lending. Linda King is part of the Common Sense Campaign. She's a board member. So just to let everyone know, okay? But Linda, go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you and Kevin and Jim for all you're doing, staying on top of this issue. I have a question. You mentioned earlier that ALDOT seems wedded to the toll. They also seem to be wedded to a new bridge. Cochran Africatown Bridge opened 28 years ago, and I-165 was completed 25 years ago. Do you see any attempts to divert traffic to this bridge when I-10 is congested?
I'm going to let Kevin talk about that because he's got that background in engineering.
No, okay. Linda, the difficulty of the alternative route is that it does take, you know, a really long time to study and get all the environmental permits and to bring together all the different, interests to agree. And so where we are today and the route that has been selected for today is a massive compromise of all those interests. And this project, you know, the first public meeting I went to was back maybe 2001, 2003, you know, right after, turn of the century, mm-hmm. I guess. And so ALDOT has been studying and applying and trying to negotiate and compromise all these interests. So if you were to just to punt the entire plan and say, well, we're going to try a different route, you're probably looking at another 20-year process to get an alternative route to established. And so that means that, I mean, you know, ALDOT is married to this route, but there's a reason, because they've had a long relationship with this route.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, though. As a frequent traveler from Mobile to Daphne, where our daughter lives, we're locals, so we know that before you get to the before you get into the major traffic jam towards that Wallace Tunnel, you can actually take I-65 and go up toward I-165 and get on that Africatown Bridge. Why couldn't ALDOT simply install some digital signage that would divert traffic that way when it's eastbound, and then in Daphne on Highway 98, that would direct drivers to use the causeway head them up toward that bridge before they get on I-10? Locals know we can do that, but there's a lot of out-of-towners that I think would be able to take that alternative route. And basically, it only adds about 10 minutes to our trip from Mobile over to Daphne to our daughters. Why can't they put that signage up? That sounds like a common-sense solution that they've never, ever tried all these years. They've known this was coming. They knew it was a problem, and it's not a new problem. So it just sounds political to me. It doesn't sound much like they want a solution. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying about other alternatives. But we already have an elevated expressway, I-165, that goes almost to the Cochran Africatown Bridge. I think my husband calculated it's fewer than 5 miles of a new elevated highway, both east and west sides of the Africatown Bridge. that they could construct. And the area already includes roads and industry.
Right.
So I don't see how they could say it's not environmentally feasible. So,
well,
I'm
you know
sorry,
what, Linda, I think that's a great point, and maybe we will bring this up with Matt Erickson. We've had a meeting with him. We'll do another meeting. So we'll do that. Let me get to another call, okay? But, Linda, thank you for calling.
Well,
it's a great idea.
Let me say one thing about the political issue, okay? Because LDOT is married to this plan, and, mm-hmm. and it is a long marriage and deep relationship, if you want to go with that metaphor. But, you know, so now what's happening is, politically, this is being driven by Montgomery.
Yeah,
it's coming straight out of the leadership of the Highway Department and Director Cooper's office, and you know the only person he really has to answer to is the governor. So that's the chain of command right there that is pushing this project straight forward.
Okay, all right, Linda, take care. We'll see you. Talk to you soon. Okay, we have another call coming in.
Yeah, let's go to Mike in Mobile. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Wanted to ask a question. We talked about the toll, that being $6 or so, but they haven't added in the cost of processing the toll, because if I go to Florida, I drive through, I get a $3 toll, and I get a $2.95 service charge. Now, in essence, if they do $2.95, then the toll is $10.
You're breaking up just a little bit there, Mike. But I think we got the gist of it. Kevin,
sure.
You want to cover that?
And so what happens is, if you're driving with a tag as opposed to a radio RFID tag, in other words, you go through the toll scanners and all they get is your license plate, then they are going to put a service charge on charging, you know, when you get your toll bill in the mail. And that happens around the country. It also happens in the Elizabeth Rivers Tunnels project that we studied. And for the frequent users, let's say if you were using the bridge every day, you would definitely want the RFID tag, because that is going to get you the cheapest toll rate. And that's kind of a common approach in different areas of the country. I think in Florida it's called Sun Pass.
Mm-hmm.
In Georgia it's Peach Pass. There's a multi-state pass that's used mostly in the Northeast called Easy Pass, and they encourage people to use this because the conversion of the toll is, first of all, it's automatic because it's all electronically done, and so there's no human intervention required. And so their collection of tolls with the Easy Pass is very high, so they feel like they want to encourage people to use that as much as possible.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate your call. We've got another call.
Do you want to go to Jim Ziegler here, or did you want to talk?
Let's do one more call.
One more call.
We'll do Jim.
All right, David, it's your time. You're up.
Hey, Dr. Liu. Hey, Kevin and Dalton. Dr. Liu, you probably know better than I do. The man sitting next to you and Kevin Spriggs is one of the smartest men you'll ever have the opportunity to and the pleasure of meeting.
I hear you. You're absolutely right.
Has anybody thought about doing a hydrotopical study of what a storm surge, similar to what Katrina did in Louisiana or what Ivan did in Escambia Bay, with the top of the hydrotopical topography we have in Mobile Bay? Because Sean was making this point that our bay is different than Lake Pontchartrain or Escambia County Bay, and it may be able to absorb that storm surge better than those other facilities, then we may be able to go to the federal government and say, here's a study with the storm surge that we don't need to build a higher bayway because it's never going to destroy our bridge.
Yeah,
and then we can don't have to raise it, which is the bulk of the added expense. We can just expand the current bayway and build a new bridge and lower the cost.
Yeah, and I think that I'll let Kevin address that, because we talked to Matt Erickson about this, and this was a question that we brought up with him.
That's correct, and he did not reference exactly that kind of study, but he did say that the increase in height of the bayway was due to federal code that was set after Hurricane Katrina, if there was going to be improvements to existing bridges that use federal money, that you know, they would have to be raised to a code. Now, where, you know, what exactly is that code height? We're not sure. I mean, I don't know personally, have not seen it and not been able to deep read into that. But the replacement of the bayway at a larger height or a taller height is being driven directly by a federal code, as well as the fact that we ask them about using the existing pilings that the bayway is built on. And they also do, those pilings would not meet federal codes. And part of the cost of the project, I mean, a significant cost of the project, is the demolition of the existing bridge, because Mr. Erickson told us that all the pilings have to be cut off a foot below the mud line of the bridge, and of the current bridge, I mean, where the bridge lies. In other words, they can't be left, you know, they can't be abandoned in place. So you can imagine the enormous cost of removing all those pilings and probably hauling them out to the Gulf to create fishing reefs or some other purpose.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things you might want to do is go ahead and just send a note to Erickson and just follow up with your comment, because, I mean, he was pretty receptive to we spent 2 hours with him, you know,
right.
So I think they're receptive. They need to be receptive, and I think that you need to press them on that, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you for a call there. I appreciate it. And let's move on now. We've got the state agitator waiting in the wings. Okay, Mr. Jim Ziegler, welcome.
Well, thank you, Dr. Lou Campomanosi and Kevin Sprigg, for your leadership in opposing the toll and showing that there are alternatives available. Now, the group that I helped put together blocked the Mobile Bayway toll. We are just exploding. Our next goal is 50,000 members, and these aren't just names. These are very active members. And there are two ways to avoid, One is to find alternative funding, other ways to pay for a basic bridge, not a Taj Mahal $2.1 billion bridge, but a basic bridge. The second way is to fix the existing Wallace tunnels and bayways, to enhance it using a congestion management procedure. There are half a dozen things you can do to really improve the flow and the capacity in the existing bayway. We've got 50,000 people that are for no toll, and we think that will increase.
Well, I mean, the fact that you've got this number, which is growing weekly, has created a political problem in Montgomery. And as Kevin said, this is a Montgomery-run issue, and until we have, you know, sufficient political impact, then it is going to be very difficult to see how ALDOT, Director Cooper, you know, will change his mind on these things. And I think that what we're trying to do in conjunction with your efforts is to make sure that the politicians are, in fact, you know, thinking right about this. So, I mean, in our last Lanyap ad, you know, I'm talking about Congressman Burns says the ALDOT plan, you know, is unfair. It's unacceptable. You know, you're quoted. Al Britton is quoted. So is Greg, Chris Elliott. All of these people down here are understanding. They're getting it. I mean, it's not hard to get, I don't think, with 50,000 people, you know, who are screaming and say, no, 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 no. So as long as that's happening, then the political mass down here can have an impact on Montgomery. But you know, Jim, one of the things that we have said, and this is something that we're working on right now, I want to play something that you cut for us, an ad the other day. Let's everyone hear this ad so that you can, you know, then talk about what we're trying to do into North Alabama. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
This is Jim Ziegler, your state auditor, or as my friends say, state agitator. I am blessed to lead a movement of over 41,000 people to block the Mobile Bayway toll. ALDOT's plan for a toll of $1,080 a year per car would devastate working people. But this problem is not just for Mobile. A bill passed that enables ALDOT to put toll bridges and roads anywhere in Alabama. Highway 280 and I-565 are potential toll operations. ALDOT has admitted that tolls are their tax of the future. Join this common sense campaign and say no to ALDOT's future toll plans anywhere in Alabama. Call Governor Ivey today, 334-242-7100, and tell her no new tolls in Alabama. And join our Facebook group, Block the Mobile Bayway Toll.
Okay, so here we are. This is, you know, the state agitator with a great message. But guess what, folks? That message is not coming here to Mobile. We are already agitated. That message is going on Huntsville tomorrow morning, and we're in the process of working with a Birmingham station to get that message there. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about our strategy to get North Alabama as inflamed about tolls as we are down here. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your efforts in all this, and we're looking forward to hearing from you in just a few minutes.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Jim Ziegler is waiting on the line here, and you know, we just finished playing a really great ad that is going to run in Huntsville tomorrow morning and in the afternoon, and we're going to probably get one. We could get it maybe tomorrow, depending upon how quickly we can get this sorted out. But the whole point is to start getting North Alabama attuned to the fact that, as the ALDOT director was quoted by Sean last week, the fact of the matter is, tolling is going to be used for our expensive projects in Alabama. The legislative approach has already been taken to authorize this. So the fact of the matter is that while Mobile is the center of everyone's attention right now, as Jim pointed out, you've got Highway 280, you've got 565 in Huntsville. These kinds of issues are coming for North Alabama. And what we want to do is motivate them to start calling Governor Ivey to say no new tolls. That's basically what it is. So, Jim, before we get into our North Alabama strategy, just kind of give everyone a sense of direction as to what the funding possibilities are, because we keep hearing, and the Mythbusters, we'll talk about that in a second, but Mythbusters say, oh, no, there are things that these people are saying are just not right. Go Mesa money can't be used. The gas tax can't be used. Can you just kind of help us deflate that little myth?
Yes. First of all, we can build a basic bridge without a Taj Mahal $2.1 billion bridge. When this project started, it was closer to $800 million. It's almost tripled in price in a couple, few short years here. Cut out the frills, cut out this dynamiting of the existing bayway, just build a basic bridge and expand the current bayway. It can be done. It doesn't have to require all of that of a new route, because the land between the east and west lanes of the bayway is already owned by the state. Everything's already done, and all the environmental footprint is already there. Now, as far as the money, the ALDOT kept saying there was no federal money available, and lo and behold, a week ago on Monday, there was announced a $125 million grant for the I-10 Bayway Bridge.
Right.
So there is federal money that's available. That's one part. The Go Mesa money, which is the oil and gas revenues coming off of our Alabama Gulf Coast. If you take that money, which is increasing every year, and you bond that, you can get a large percentage of paying for a basic bridge. Beyond that, State Senator Greg Allbritton, who represents the northern part of Baldwin County and five other counties, is chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
Right.
And he says he can find additional monies to come up with the difference. But in addition to that, the Trump infrastructure program is being designed at this moment. When President Trump was in Louisiana in May, he promised them a new I-10 bridge if he's reelected. Well, if the Trump infrastructure plan can give Louisiana a new I-10 bridge, they can give Alabama a new I-10 bridge. And that's $2 trillion in the Trump infrastructure program. Mm-hmm. So the money is there. They just don't want to do it. ALDOT is fascinated with the idea of a toll. They are fixated on a toll. They want the toll, the whole toll, and nothing but the toll. And therein lies the problem.
Well, and that is the problem for us, too. And one of the things that we have said this, and I think that the P3 process itself lends itself to the kinds of manipulations that, you know, the average person is not going to have the wherewithal and the say to make an impact on decisions. And I think, as Kevin has said before, once this P3 group comes out and they get this project, people like us who may have a voice now are going to have absolutely no voice, because we're never going to be able to compete with all the thousands of dollars that are just going to soak up radio, soak up TV ads. You know, like we said a little while ago, this Mythbusters, that's just ALDOT propaganda. But, you know, we can deal with that. That's just something online. But if they start running ads, you know, everywhere, every day, 5 and 6 times a day, and put it on TV, we're overwhelmed. Well,
as I said, you know, if you know, you've got a $10 billion return
right. Yeah.
On the table, once a P3 partnership group is selected, they can become the largest lobbyist group in the state, similar to Porch Creek Indians, similar to AEA, similar to BCA. And they go to Montgomery. If you stand to make $1 billion in profit, what's $1 million in, lobbying to make sure that it happens?
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Jim, you know, I know that we want to talk a little bit about our strategy to the north, okay? So just give it a quick rundown on how this is working, and we really liked your ad. It was really good.
The people in North Alabama are beginning to see that this toll scheme will affect them. The Mobile Bayway is only the first of the Alabama P3 projects. We know that ALDOT considers the tolls as their tax of the future. And we need people all through Central and North Alabama to support us, to call Governor Ivey to tell her no tolls. We're against this toll partnership scheme. It's starting to happen, even on our Facebook group.
Well, that's outstanding,
Mobile
Jim.
Bayway.
We've yeah.
got hundreds of people from Central and North Alabama who are beginning to join and support us.
Well, you know, we can use that Facebook page to leverage their own Facebook network so that this really does grow into something very quickly. And I guarantee you, I'm going to be sending your ad out over the Alabama Conservative Coalition's network so that they're going to get it. And I'm going to ask all of them to play that throughout, you know, the northern and central regions. I think this is very doable. We really appreciate your time and effort of putting this thing together, because the fact of the matter is, you are going to be the voice of opposition. You're known. People trust you. And that is going to make a difference with these folks. And if we just need to get them to start calling Governor Ivey, because as we were just saying a little while ago, this toll authority, that's where the center of gravity is. And we have got to make sure that, because, you know, Al Britton is the only one from South Alabama on that authority. Everyone else is, you know, appointed, or else they are, you know, elected from other places.